All right, we're back here on The Game. We'll talk with Kelis Robinette in just a moment. Some final thoughts on the K-State men's basketball season. I'm excited to have his answer to what was the best press conference moment of the basketball season. I can't remember if we did that for football with him or not.
I think we did.
Basketball is, as you might imagine, typically a little bit more lively. The Bill Snyder and player press conferences, not usually quite as filled with entertainment.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to disagree.
Really?
Yeah, because...
No, you're right. I mean, I should give Bill Snyder credit. He does make us laugh on a basically weekly basis.
When he steps outside of the box, he nails it every single time. And I don't feel like that's the case with Bruce Weber.
You know what? This goes back to the other day when you said he's not the coolest coach in the Big 12. I apologize. I stood up for him being the coolest coach in the Big 12, and I will do it again because he makes us laugh at press conferences.
Thanks for continuing to throw me under the bus, and I know that there's more of that coming in
second half. I'm just kidding. Kelly in Vegas is on at 5:40, where you should be betting if you are betting on the NCAA tournament coming up this weekend with the regionals, which actually start tomorrow, not really the weekend. But for now, we talk with Kelis Robinette, who I know has been, in his words, drafted into the army of covering things at Sprint Center. What's the scene like there for that regional?
Well, like I said on Twitter, it's a lot like the Big 12 tournament on steroids. Imagine the pack we have here at the beginning of March for those games, and then multiply it by two, and that's pretty much what we got. I got a laugh at the Purdue players. Couldn't believe the media walking around in there with all the cameras in their faces. They're like, "Wow, the Sweet 16 is a big deal, huh?" I'm like, "Yeah, I guess so."
Yeah, put can.
I'm excited for it.
You imagine if Iowa State was there too?
Oh man, there would not be room for everyone in this town. That would have been epic.
Kelis Robinette is talking with us. As far as K-State's season is concerned, losing in the round of 64, going 8-10 and finishing 6th in the Big 12, how would you rate what this season was based on sort of what we were expecting going into the year?
You know, I'd say above average. I think that's a good way to put it. It could have been better, could have been a lot worse. In the end, above average. I mean, 21 wins, NCAA tournament appearance. If you go back, over the last 30 years of Kansas State basketball, that ranks probably in the top five or six of seasons that they've had. So pretty good. Obviously, you would like it to have been more, just given how many close games they lost. You go back and look at the Maryland game, could have won that one. The Kansas game, they were Dean Wade's three-pointer away from winning. The TCU game, they let slip away. There were just so many of those where if just one thing goes the other way, all of a sudden you're looking at 24, 25 wins instead of 21. You're not in the play-in round. You're wearing white on the first day of the NCAA tournament. And things are, much, much cheerier. And people aren't looking back at what could have been. So that was kind of the difference between it being an above-average season and a special season. But all in all, pretty good, I feel like.
Were you surprised by how big of a gap there appeared to be between K-State and Cincinnati when those two played? It just seemed like Cincinnati had the look of a second weekend team and K-State did not.
Yeah, I thought it would be a little closer than that, but by the same token, Cincinnati won 30 games, and I kind of, the more I got to know them as I studied them, and when I got to Sacramento, I thought this is a bad matchup for them. They play really tough defense, and they make you score in half court, which is the one thing that Bruce Weber's team just really struggled with this season. You throw a zone or different defenses at them, they just really didn't know how to handle it, and that's what Cincinnati did the entire time. And then you throw in the fact that Wesley Iwundu gets into foul trouble. As soon as he picked up that third foul in the first half, the game was pretty much over. They would have needed to go on just an epic barrage of three-pointers to get back in it. And they actually did kind of at one point pull into within six in the second half, but just not enough muscle to get in it. And I actually think, just being around those guys as much as they traveled, you could tell that going to that game, kind of the enthusiasm or energy, whatever you want to call it, had kind of been sapped from them. I think in a weird way, maybe it hurt that they had to take an extra day off before playing, because just being with them all that time, they were really pumped when they got to Dayton on Monday, played one of their best games on Tuesday. They were still really excited when they got to California on Wednesday. And then Thursday, they have a whole day off. I don't know, maybe just kind of the momentum faded, and then by the time they played, it was hard for them to get warmed back up. So I think it's kind of weird how that worked out. I think when it first happened, people said, oh, well, they got to go to the West Coast. They get an extra day off. That'll help them. I think in a weird way that actually kind of hurt and made it harder for them to play that game.
We're talking with Kelis Robinette here on the game. You brought up Wes and the way that he played the last 3 weeks of the season. I mean, honestly, he took his game to a level that I wasn't sure that he was necessarily capable of, which to me makes it a really healthy debate between who is the bigger loss here. Is it him or is it DJ Johnson going into next year?
Yeah, and that's very interesting. I mean, a month ago I would have said that it was DJ just because when he did get hurt, I mean, that team was more or less doomed, even if he was just playing 75%. That's when they lost the majority of their games. They went on that 2-8 spell where every game the biggest excuse was that, well, we don't have a healthy DJ Johnson. How can we play without a healthy DJ Johnson? But then, just, yeah, out of nowhere, since the urgency took over Wesley, and he was a completely different player those last few weeks, and I think I saw it take over most in the postseason. He really, I mean, legitimately looked like he had an NBA future in the Big 12 tournament and then in the NCAA tournament, and it's kind of crazy how his stock is kind of taken off because of it. I've looked up on draft projections, and they've got him as a second rounder. I had a scout with the Pelicans actually a few minutes ago call and ask if he could talk to me about Wesley, which surprised me. A few months ago I would not have thought NBA teams would have been all that interested, but right now it's looking like he might be their first draft pick in a while.
Playing off of that question a little bit, Kelis, but instead of asking it as which guy K-State will have a tougher time replacing, which guy do you have more faith, or which position do you have more faith K-State can actually fill the void next year? Is it at point guard or at center?
Well, you know, that's a tough one. I would say, I mean, the good thing about them with Wes leaving is that they've got Xavier Sneed there already, who was kind of a mini West this year, and when he played at his best, it looked like he was ready to step in and help him out there. He kind of fell off late, but if he can regain his form and then he goes in there next year, I mean, you could legitimately see him starting on the wing. Point guard, there's some uncertainty there because, you know, Kamau turned the ball over just too much this year, really at unacceptable levels. He can shoot when he's hot. He's a very valuable player, but he just doesn't seem, to me anyway, to grasp the offense and the passing and have the passing abilities that they need to take to the next level. Barry Brown, kind of the same way. They're both more shooting guards than point guards. You know, there's some people who think Cartier-Jara might be the answer there, but we've never really seen him in action and play. So maybe he's good enough that he can start next year. Maybe he's not. They could certainly use some help there, at least as a backup. And then, yeah, center. Bruce Weber said that's his number one priority in recruiting this offseason, that they got to add a big, preferably an experienced big from JUCO, from from another school as a graduate transfer, someone who can come in and play and add some experience in there. So it's really a tie on a lot of levels. They need some depth and some bodies at all those places.
Kelis Robinette talking with us here on the game. Well, sort of takes me into my next question, and that is, based on what we know now about the roster and some of the holes that they have, big man, point guard, just some depth would be nice as well. How confident are you that this team is a team that will take a step forward next year?
You know, I'd say cautiously optimistic. I think some of the players are maybe a bit too optimistic in their assessment, saying that they've already got, you know, the pieces on campus now to win next year. I think they do need one more big than somebody who can come in and give them 20 minutes a game next year. I think that's vital. Isaiah Maurice really did come on late, so he's actually gone into somebody who can help you. He's probably right now the projected starter at that position. If he can improve, that would help, but you still need somebody else in there to play off him. So either that's James Love or it's somebody coming in on the recruiting trail, but they got to have some other body in there. Yeah, point guard, if Cartier is the answer, great. If he's as good as some people think he is, then, you know, there's your answer there. And then the big question is really how much improvement do those sophomores and Xavier Sneed show this offseason? Do they make that jump that Wesley and DJ made where they're underclassmen and you don't think they're going to end up being that great of players, but then they do end up being, you know, when they're running for all conference honors and some of the most pivotal players on the team, can they make that jump to be leaders? And can a guy like Dean Wade start bringing it every night. If they can find some consistency, then they can make up for the losses that they have, and they can go forward. If they don't, those guys don't improve that much, then you're probably looking at what you saw this year or a step back.
Well, I don't expect any kind of really long answer from you necessarily on this. I basically just ask it because of what all the fans seem to be talking about right now, and there has certainly been a lot of talk about this, but is there any doubt in your mind that it is going to be Bruce Weber as the head coach next year?
Well, right now, yeah. I mean, they haven't fired him yet. And the season ended almost a week ago, so he's out recruiting, he's out building for the future, so right now that's all you can expect. I guess you can say never because they still haven't hired a full-time AD, so it'll ultimately be his decision, but given that he's gone to 3 NCAA tournaments in 5 seasons, he's coming off a 21-win season, which includes the NCAA tournament. I mean, 90 times out of 100, coaches don't get fired for that. So right now, I'm expecting him back. I think fans should expect him back, too. I think the odds of a change at this point are very low.
And finally, before I let you go, how about your favorite press conference or, like, media gathering moment of the basketball season? Was it being called out with the other dude from The Thing? Was it, let's see, we have Corby Irvin crushing his haters over the last couple weeks of the season, DJ Johnson kind of dropping the S word, maybe?
Those were all pretty good. You know, mine was probably one you wouldn't expect. I really got the biggest kick out of when we had a presser in the media room at Bramlage Coliseum, which apparently Bruce Weber didn't know existed. And he walks in and he says, what the world is this place? And we explained to him, this is where they stick the media. And he's like, wow, what a dump. I didn't. That just cracked me up that, A, that he thought of it that way and that he didn't even know that we had a media room. That was classic to me.
Well, you know what? Someone needs to start advocating for us, Kellis. So maybe if that raised some awareness for media members, that's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, get a hashtag going. New media room at K-State. That needs to be amazing.
There we go. Well, Kellis, really appreciate you coming on with us throughout football and basketball season this year. Enjoy Kansas City, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, have a good one, you guys.
All right, there's Kellis Robinette from the Kansas City Star and Wichita Eagle here on the show. At 5:40, Kelly in Vegas. It's a huge couple of weeks in Vegas with the NCAA tournament. Who does she like as far as the betting lines are concerned this weekend? And coming up next, I'm really excited about the possibility of who might be replacing Brad Underwood at Oklahoma State. Stick with us. It's The Game.